Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew, Bible teacher and pastor of Grace Valley Christian Center, located in Davis, California. Today, Pastor Matthew speaks on life of faith or life of fear. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. Now here is our teacher, Pastor P.G. Matthew.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we now pray that you rebuke our idolatry, our baalism, our self-centeredness, our pride, our arrogance, our dependence on ourselves, our trust in our wealth. Have mercy upon us, O God. Help us to believe in God. Help us to repudiate our trust in ourselves. Help us to center in God and God alone. Help us to listen to your word and live in the light of your word. Help us, O God, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. Help us to become believers in Jesus Christ. Help us, O God, to live in confidence, in courage, in boldness, and not in fear and retreat. Even this morning, O God, apply your word to our hearts. Let the proud be humbled, and you lift up the humble. Send the rich empty away, and give plenty of food to the poor in spirit. For we pray in Christ's name, amen. A life of faith or a life of fear? Faith or fear? And we want to learn from the life of Elijah. A life of faith or life of fear, as revealed in the life of Elijah. And you read about Elijah, the great prophet, in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18 and 19. And 2 Kings chapter 1 and chapter 2. You are living a life of faith or you are living a life of fear. Either we as Christians live by faith without fear or worry, or we live in anxiety. Faith trusts in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the God of creation, and the God of the covenant of salvation. The one who believes in the true God does not depend on himself or his circumstances. He depends totally on God and his unfailing promises in the Holy Scriptures. The believer is always confident because he by faith sees the invisible God being with him. The fearful does not see God. He sees only himself and his miserable circumstances. Therefore, he is anxious and he is full of worry. The believer says, God promised it. He cannot lie. I believe his promises and he will do them. The believer says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Faith looks to God. Faith looks to his infallible word. Fear looks to oneself and one's weaknesses. Faith asks the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Faith or fear? Either we believe and move forward triumphantly in the way of God, or in fear and worry, we retreat and lick our wounds in self-pity. Faith accomplishes great things for God. Fear paralyzes us. In 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19, we read about Elijah, especially in his conflict with the Baal worshippers of Israel. Elijah means, "My God is Jehovah. My God is the God of the covenant." Elijah was the light in the darkness of Israel. He was God's flaming witness. He grew up in the rugged region of Gilead. He was a man of faith and prayer. He was always unafraid. He was not double-minded in his faith in God. He loved God and his word wholeheartedly, especially when the vast majority of Israel abandoned the true God and became worshippers of Baal. You know, Ahab, the king of Israel, married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of Tyre and Sidon. Jezebel, as you know, was the forerunner of feminism, the domineering woman who will reverse all God's order. Her father was the king as well as the priest, therefore he exercised absolute authority. So when Jezebel came to Israel, she began to exercise absolute authority. She introduced Baal worship into Israel, and she was a committed believer in Baalism and promoted it, and she began to destroy the worship of Jehovah, and she destroyed the altars to the Lord Jehovah, and she killed the prophets of the true God. Elijah was concerned about this introduction of Baalism into Israel. Elijah knew that God is angry and God would punish the sin of Israel, that God would shut the heavens and stop rain, the former and latter rain, from coming to Israel. And so let's look at verse 1 of chapter 17 of 1 Kings. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Ahab said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." Man sins and God punishes. Blessed is the person who makes that connection and does something about it. We live in God's moral universe. No sin is going to be unpunished. Every sin will be punished. So it is important that one makes the connection between sin and judgment, and obedience and blessing. So we want to look at the life of Elijah. First, in the brook Cherith, and learn something about faith. And what does it mean to live by faith in the Word of God? Let's take a look at chapter 17, verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. "Leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kerith ravine, east of the Jordan," and so on. God, what is he doing? God, in judgment upon Israel, removes his prophet 15 miles east of Jezreel to Brook Cherith, a narrow gorge of Jordan, so that he can hide himself there, away from the hand of Ahab. We must learn something from this divine removal of God's prophet and this divine removal of God's word. It is divine judgment. When we disobey God, he punishes his people by removing the prophet who declares faithfully God's word. So the word of the Lord came to him. Leave here. Turn eastward. Hide in the Kerith ravine. Drink from the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. God will always provide for those who are in his service. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As I said many times, if you serve the U.S. Army, the U.S. government will take care of you. God demands implicit faith from his servants. Total obedience, as demonstrated by Abraham, the father of all believers, to whom the word of the Lord came and said, you must take your son, your only son, the son whom you love, Isaac, and sacrifice him. And we read that Abraham immediately obeyed this extremely difficult command. When the people of God were in the wilderness, they were walking in the way of God. And we noticed that God provided for them every day manna. If God commands your life, then he will provide for your life. He promises no luxury. He does not guarantee luxury, but he guarantees to meet our needs. But we must learn one thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will prosper you. He will direct your paths. To receive God's provision, whether in the wilderness or whether in Brook Cherith or wherever God places you, to receive his provision, we must be in his service, walking in his way. There is a verse in the book of Genesis, chapter 24 and verse 27. Abraham commanded his servant to go and find a wife for his son Isaac. And verse 27 in Berkeley version, this is what it says. The servant is praying and thanking God. And notice this. I, being on the way, the Lord guided me. The Lord blessed me. And I am just telling you, when you are going in the way of God, when you are obedient to his command, God will guide you. God will bless you. God will provide for you. God will prosper you. I, being on the way, the Lord guided me to the house of my master's kinsfolk. Look at then verse 5. So he did what the Lord had told him. Let me ask you, do you do implicitly, totally, completely, instantly, with gladness, what God is telling you? Here, he was told to leave here, turn eastward, not westward. and hide in a specific place in the Kerit Ravine, east of the Jordan. And he was told that you will drink from the brook. And he was told, I have ordered the ravens to feed you. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to Kerit Ravine, east of the Jordan, stayed there. What is a problem? Why are the people of God not guided, not blessed? Why is it people of God are living in fear and anxiety and worry and confusion and self-pity? It is time that we looked at ourselves and say it is because we were not going in the way of God. We did not believe Him. We argued with Him. We did not obey Him. We delayed our obedience. We were argumentative about it. But learn, Elijah was a man of faith. How do we know that he believed? He obeyed God. Faith works. Faith obeys. Apostle Paul was given the commission to call the Gentiles unto the obedience of faith. And so he went. And he was there, exact location where God directed him. And this God provides for him, Jehovah Jireh. Remember that Isaac asked the question, where is the animal for sacrifice? We have everything else. And Abraham said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. If God commanded you to serve Him, He will provide for you. You read in Psalm 34, verse 10, the lions may grow and be weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. St. Paul tells us in Philippians 4, verse 19, my God will supply all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He proved it in his life. Paul proved it. Elijah proved it in his life. Abraham proved it in his life. Jehovah Jireh. But not to the rebellious. Not to the Baal worshippers. Not to the Asherah worshippers. Not to the disobedient. But he who walks in the way of God. God provides for that person. Look at the housing. What type of housing did he receive? Well, I suppose he probably stayed in a cave nearby. What about the food? Well, God provided food in God's own way. And we are told that God commanded the ravens. They are unclean birds. But God commanded the ravens. Not angels, not doves. Not one of the 7,000 who did not worship Baal. It was God's sovereign decision to command ravens to feed Elijah there. Faith means you accept and you submit to the divine order. God sovereignly chooses whatever instruments He chooses. And we submit to Him. And to His will and learn the life of faith. And what about the meal that was provided for him? Notice, it is little by little. One meal at a time. At the morning, there was bread and meat. Elijah was not provided a large amount of food. He was not even provided food sufficient for the whole day. He was given food for one meal at a time. And what's the reason for that? Let me tell you the reason for that is, if we are given in abundance, we are sinful people have a tendency to trust in our supply rather than the supplier. We don't need to pray. We don't need to listen to God. We have abundance. Isn't that the reason why the church is not praying? We have abundance. We don't know what to do with all the things that God has given us. But in his case, one meal at a time. Then he has to get on his knee. And then he prays. And he looks for the ravens. And here the ravens come again. And notice, no luxury is brought. There are no vegetables, no sweets. There's no variety, and no wine, no nothing. But God provides our needs. And then we are told that one day the brook dried up. He could see the level of water going down every day. And I'm sure he was prone to become anxious. But he said, no, God commanded me to be here, and I'm going to be here until he tells me to go out of here. And so one day it dried. God has a way of changing our circumstances. We are people who depend on them. And God changes whenever he sovereignly wants it, in order to, so that we can look to him and to the Holy Spirit to guide us in the way he wants to guide us. So the brook dried up. But he is not anxious. He is waiting there for further word. Look at verse 7. Sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So what did he do? Maybe he could move to Jordan River. Maybe somewhere there should be some water. No. He cannot lean on to his own understanding. He must be led by the Holy Spirit. He must be led by Jehovah God. So he waits for his word, and the word came. Isn't that interesting? The word came. Then the word of the Lord, verse 8, came to him. You see, he is governed by God. He is governed by his word. He is walking in the way. He refuses to turn to his own way. He is not rebellious. He is not stubborn mule. He is a prophet of God. So take a look at his life in this location called Zarephath in Sidon. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. If God sends you, he will supply you with food. Get whatever you need. So he goes 75 miles northwest of Cherith. Today it's known as Ras Sarafand. Sarafath means refining. It means crucible. God has his own way of refining our faith. Through testing, through trials. So that the dross is taken away from us. Now let me tell you, while I am at it, he puts you under certain ministers and pastors who will work a work to rid off the dross and pretensions and arrogance and stubbornness and demand that we believe in the very word of God. And consider yourself blessed when you find yourself under such ministers. Who will declare to you the very word of God and will not be fooled by the pretensions of piety. Zarephath means refining, crucible. God desires to teach us faith by trial and remove dross from us by sending every one of us first to Brook Cherith and then to Zarephath. Why did he send him to Zarephath? Well, God is sovereign. He does what he pleases. Who are you to tell him how he should do his business? Remember, we are Christians. What did we say? We said, Jesus Christ is Lord, and therefore he does what he pleases. He sends you to Zarephath, which is part of Sidon, ruled by the father of Jezebel. It's a country given to Baal worship. They're in the center of idolatry. The man of God is sent. And there you go. And then we are told, you know, I have commanded somebody to supply you. Well, who is this person? A rich merchant in this Gentile territory? Absolutely not. God chooses in accordance with the pleasure of his own will. He chooses. He saves whomever he wants to save. And so he says, I have commanded a widow there, a Gentile, a woman, a poor woman, a widow. Strange is the way of God. And so you make up your mind whether you want to believe what I ordered and go to Zarephath. Let's find out whether he went there or not. Verse 10, so he went to Zarephath. That is what a Christian is. God speaks, you believe, and you do. Prove your faith by doing what he tells you. And as you are on the way of obedience, you discover goodness and mercy coming and meeting you. And blessing of God sent from the throne coming to you and meet you and blesses you. You begin to wonder why these things have not happened to you. Let me tell you why. Because we were living in stubborn unbelief. I commanded. We are told here, a widow in that place to supply you with food. So there you go, 75 miles northwest. You walk all the way there. God could have sent him any other place, but he did not send him any other place. He could have sent him to Obadiah, who was the minister of Ahab, who had some connections and some pull, some influence. He was feeding about 100 prophets, keeping them in 2 caves. He was feeding them with bread and water. Or he could have commanded an angel to take care of him. No, it is his decision to send him to Zarephath, to a Gentile, to a woman, to a poor woman, to a widow. And Elijah did go. That's faith. There is no questioning about it. There's no argument about it. You parents, you tell your children to do something, they don't do it. They argue about it. They jump up and down about it. They hesitate about it. They murmur about it. They complain about it. That's life of unbelief. And we have learned the same thing. Where did they learn? They learned from us. They learned from us, sister, mother, father. They learned from us. And may God help us to live a life of implicit trust in our God who cannot lie, our God who alone is the Savior. So he believed. He arrived at the gate of Zarephath. He sees a woman. He asks for some water to drink and a little bread. But notice, this woman has a problem. There is no bread in the house. And he's gathering a couple of twigs to make the final meal. Two little cakes, one for her and one for the son. And then in Berkeley version it says, then we must die. Let me tell you, the prophet comes, the word of God comes, and the gospel comes to people who must die. Oh, but look at the love of God. Look at the love of God. Look at the sovereignty of God, the election of God. It comes all the way to this miserable place called Zarephath, to the very heart of Baal worship. And there he chooses a poor person, a widow, a woman, a Gentile, who must die. That's the nature of sinner. He must die. And this is the condition of all people. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But woman, poor woman, Gentile woman, a widow woman, you must die, woman. Here is the prophet comes. Here is the word of God is coming to you. And listen and to what he says. Oh, there is good news. Let's turn to verse 13 of chapter 17. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let me tell you, every sinner lives in the fear of death. Damnable death, eternal death. Every sinner who is outside of Jesus Christ every day lives by fear of death and coming judgment. That is the truth. No matter how they cover it up, the truth is their fear. Fear is the result of unbelief in God. And so the good news is what? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's the good news. Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make me a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. And listen, the next verse, this is what it says. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the God who is Savior, the God who is the God of covenant, God who loves Israel. This is what the God of Israel is saying to you, a Gentile woman, a dying, poor, widow woman. There is good news for you. God demands something from you in order that you may be saved. No man is going to be saved without repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. No man is going to be saved apart from repentance and faith. And then this woman has to make up her mind. Listen, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the one who cannot lie, the one who is truth, one who is the only Savior is speaking to you. To you he is speaking. And you read the word of God, always understand that the word is speaking to you. God of Israel is speaking to you personally. He demands that you repent and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you may be saved. He's speaking to you. And what is he saying? Oh, it's a wonderful message. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until what? The day the Lord, not Baal, the Lord gives rain on the land. That is God's promise. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? And you shall be saved. And the truth is, she believed. And how do you know? She brought. No, first, seek ye first the kingdom of God. She brought the cake first to Elijah. Therein is her faith. And notice verse 15. So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for the child and for everybody else. I beseech you to believe in the word of God. That's the good news. Let me ask you, the word of God comes to the miserable, wretched, poor sinners who must die. But here, God sent his son, died for our sins, raised from the dead. And he says, believe on him and you shall be saved. And that's what she did. It will not dry, run dry. There will always be flour and oil. Not in abundance. But there will always be. It will never be empty. Isn't that interesting? St. John tells us, of his fullness we received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. That's what happens to those who link yourself to Jesus Christ. From him we receive. And it is to him we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 30. And here, verse 8 and 9. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. That means idol worship. Give me neither poverty no riches. Oh, that's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Give me not poverty, nor riches. Why is that? But give me only my daily bread, otherwise I may have too much and disown you. Isn't that a terrible thing we have done? We trust in the provision and forget about the provider very quickly. And God in His mercy gives us little by little by little. And we get all upset about it. Oh, you should be praising God for giving you what? Little by little, so that you will continue to look to Him and pray to Him and depend on Him and believe in Him. Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Turn again to Psalm 37 and verse 25. Here is the word from Saint David. Psalm 37 and verse 25. I was young and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. That is absolutely true. When we are in God's way, God supplies our every need. And now, let's look at Elijah at Mount Carmel. Look at verse 18, chapter 18, verse 1. Again, you notice Elijah is led by the Spirit. As long as you're led by the Spirit, as long as you're led by the Word of God, as long as you are led by the Lord of the covenant, you need not fear, you need not worry, you need not be anxious about anything. He will help you. So here it is. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. This is serious business. He can kill you, Ahab. And his wife can kill you. She has killed prophet after prophet of God. And here yet the man of faith, he heard the word of God. He moves in faith. He moves by the power of the Spirit of the living God. I'm just telling you, if God commanded you, you go. Everything will be all right. And look at verse 2. What did he do? So Elijah went. Went for what? For a great challenge. What was the challenge? We want to settle the question. Whether Jehovah is God or Baal is God. And on Mount Carmel, there is the great contest. 450 prophets of Baal praying to Baal to perform this miracle of consuming the sacrifice by fire. The test is this. The God who answers by fire, He's the God. He's the true God. He's the only God. They agree to that. And they are praying. Let me tell you, Baals are nothing. Baals are lies. There is only one God. There is only one Savior. Hallelujah. There is no other Savior. There is no other God. Everything else is falsehood, lies. Idols are worthless. They are nothings. And so, nothing happened. And you know the story. Elijah repaired the altar and placed the sacrifice and prayed a brief prayer to the covenant God. And fire came down and consumed everything. And the people said, Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. And Elijah said, seize all the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, and brought them to the river Kishon. We were there at Mount Carmel and at this rivulet. And he killed them. Oh, you don't like that? Well, that's what the book says they should do. Any idolater, any worshiper of idols must be killed. God's judgment was brought upon him. And then he prayed again by faith. And what happened? Rain came down. Rain came down. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. There was rain, no problem at all. I'm just telling you, if you believe in God, if you are led by the Spirit, if you go in obedience to divine word, you fear nothing, nobody. You can face kings, queens. But now let's come to the fourth point, that is Elijah in the desert. Look at 19th chapter, and this is a problem. You see, Elijah is a sinner, just like us. Just like us. Here is the mighty victory, great triumph on Mount Carmel. A tremendous demonstration that Jehovah is true God. He answered by fire. And yet, this Jezebel sends a threat. In 24 hours, you'll be killed. Now, let me ask you, you think she was going to kill her in 24 hours? You think she could have done that? Absolute impossibility. No way. Remember in 2 Kings chapter 1, we see Elijah calling down fire. And the fire consumed a group of 50 and then another group of 50. And yet, look at this man. He fears this threat and he runs. And you ask him, what's your name? He's running. What's your name? And what would he say? Elijah. What does Elijah mean? My God is Jehovah. And you are running in fear of a wicked woman by name Jezebel? How many times we fear and we ran when there was no reason to run? Let me ask you just one question. Did God say you must run? There was a threat, but we see that he is not praying. He is unbelieving. The word did not come, but he is running. That's what happens when we don't believe God. Fear or faith. No command, no prayer. This threat of Jezebel, in 24 hours you'll be killed. Fear grips this great Elijah, runs in unbelief. He's anxious, he's worried. He looks at the circumstance. He looks at himself. He gives himself to self-pity. And he runs. You see, in that situation, he is like Saint Peter. Remember Saint Peter? He tells Jesus to command him to be able to walk on the water in Matthew chapter 14. And the Lord Jesus said, come. And you see him what? Walking on the water. And then we are told he looked at the waves and fear gripped him. And what did he do? He began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And he reached out and saved him. And that's what is happening in Elijah's life. And this happens in our life also, isn't it? Thursday, we did pretty good. We were triumphant. We believed in God. We praised God. We jumped up and down. We sang divine praises. But Friday, we are gripped with fear, running. There is no need to run. Your God hasn't abandoned you. Your God is with you. The Bible says, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the ages. The fear is totally unnecessary. It's an affront to God, our Savior. This anxiety, this worry is an affront to God. It's dishonoring God. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41. And let me read to you from verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. You see that? God commands us specifically. Do not fear. Or turn to chapter 43. Let me read from verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. when you pass through the waters, and the waters will come. We are not exempt from waters. I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Let me tell you, it's absolutely unnecessary to fear. Believe. Obey God. Look to His Word. Pray to God. Walk in the way of God. And you need not fear. And yet, I want to tell you this. It's amazing. God didn't abandon him. And God commanded an angel. It could be the second person of the Trinity. coming in the desert. With freshly baked bread. And cool water in the desert. And gently touches the sleeping Elijah. Who is disobedient and unbelieving. And yet, God in his mercy comes to him. Wakes him up and says, eat and drink. And he woke up and he ate and drank, went to sleep again. And the angel showed up again, woke him up and said, eat and drink. Isn't that wonderful? The constancy of God's love for us. When we forsake him, he will not forsake us. Because he cannot deny himself. No wonder the psalmist says he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. He rebukes us, he corrects us, and brings us back on to the right way, but he will never leave us or forsake us. His love never fails us. His rich mercy shall not come to an end. Let me tell you one thing. God calls us to the obedience of faith. That's the one thing you have to keep in mind. Love God, obey God, believe God, and He will do all things. The life of faith is the life of peace and joy. Believe God. Do what He tells us. He will provide for you. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. Follow Jesus and you shall not be afraid. Follow Jesus and you shall have peace. Follow Jesus and you shall rejoice always. Even when you go through the waters and the rivers and through the flames. Follow Jesus in obedience. In faith you shall lack nothing. Don't just go. Wait for God to speak to you. Wait for His word. Then do what the word tells you. Then all shall be well. If you are not a Christian, the word is coming. If you are not a Christian, the word is coming to you. And what do you think that word is? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's the word. The word, the eternal word, came down from heaven. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word is coming to you. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? You shall be saved. Elijah believed. The widow believed. Ask the question, have you repented of your sins? Ask that. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone for your eternal salvation? There is no other God. Baal is a lie. Asherah is a lie. Jezebel is a lie. Ahab is a lie. Well, maybe you are trusting in yourself. Let me tell you, you are gripped by fear. Not only you die in your sins, but you must face Him who is the judge of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Baals are lies. Idols are a lie. I want to beseech you and tell you something. What Joshua said and what Elijah said. Choose this day whom you will serve. How long will you halt between two opinions? If Jehovah is God, serve Him. If Baal is God, serve Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But you cannot continue in this unsettled condition. There is no other Savior but Jesus Christ who died for sinners on the cross. There is no other Savior but Jesus who rose from the dead. There is no other Savior but Jesus who is the Lord of all. There is no other Savior but Jesus who is the sovereign judge of all peoples of the world. Trust Him today. Repent today. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Fear or faith? Fear or faith? Then you trust in Jesus Christ alone. No more fear. Hallelujah. No more worry. No more anxiety. No more misery. Why is it? Because God, the Savior, is with me. Always. Even unto the end of the ages. Heavenly Father, we pray that you have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sin of unbelief. Help us to hear your word, believe your word, and do your word, that we may be blessed by you. It is true that when we are in your way, in the way of God, in the way of righteousness, you shall provide our every need. And so, God, we praise you for your continuing faithfulness to every one of us. We believe. Help thou our unbelief. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to Grace and Glory Audio featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Join us next week for more transforming Bible teaching.